Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to make our way through the Acts of the Apostles these days. If you're just tuning in today, I mentioned yesterday on the program, I want to take up some significant chunks of content from the Acts of the Apostles to get at, with the goal of getting at, what is it that the apostles actually experienced? It's called the Acts. And what is it that they did? What did they preach? What was the role of the Holy Spirit in their mission? In what way did the apostles experience the work of the Holy Spirit? And this is such an important thing for us to be able to do, friends, because at the heart of Christianity, what it means to be a Christian means that you're born again by water and the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus said, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, what that means is in baptism, baptism's the doorway. Baptism is the means by which we are united to the life of Jesus. Human beings, just by virtue of being human, are not automatically united to the life of Jesus, the new life that's in Christ. It's something that he gives to us, and it's something that's given in baptism. And in baptism, a miracle is accomplished. We are plunged into the waters of baptism. We are united in baptism to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus is applied to our lives. It's the blood of Jesus that purifies us from all stain of sin. Jesus became sin for us so he could deal with the sin problem in the human heart that produces the death problem in human life. And he comes to deal with that sin that separates us from God and the life of God and gives us a share in his own life. And we're born again and we become children of God. That reality. Now, the apostles clearly, you know, again, let me just back up. To be Christian means to be made alive, brought from death to life, and made alive in the power of the Holy Spirit. The word Christian comes from, you know, the christening, anointing, and the anointing is the person of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a ritual. It's not just oils. It's literally the sign of baptism, water, and the oils. These signs are called sacraments, and they affect what they signify. It's happening. The action is a visible sign of a deep, profound, living spiritual reality that's happening in the context of that sacrament. And so to be Christian is to be born into a new life, and that new life is a life in the Spirit. It's a life under the grace and power of the Spirit. It's a fulfillment of the promise of Jesus said he would send his Holy Spirit. The Spirit would guide us, comfort us, counsel us, would give us words to speak. The gifts of the Spirit would be present in our lives. The fruits of the Spirit would be present in our lives, things like that. So to be Christian means to live a new life in the Spirit. And so you can see in the Acts of the Apostles, as that began to happen and unfold in their lives, before there was a dogma or a doctrine of the Holy Spirit, there was the lived experience of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the apostles. They knew and believed in the Holy Spirit, first because Jesus said he would send the Spirit, and then he told them, you'll know, because when the Spirit comes, you'll receive power. Power to live a new way of life, power to fulfill the mission, power to grow, to walk in holiness and be conformed to the person of Jesus Christ. And so it's important for us to be able to say, okay, what is that? That's part of the foundational reality of what it means to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus. A follower is a disciple of Christ. What is the normal Christian life? And this is the foundation, the essence, the center of the normal Christian life. That's what it means. And so we're going to take a closer look kind of day after day over these next few weeks at dimensions of the apostolic experience of encountering the Holy Spirit, saying what the Holy Spirit is empowering them to say, and walking in and following the lead of the Holy Spirit who's given to them. And it's the Holy Spirit who helps make the will of the Lord known, to make the will of Jesus known in the life of his disciples. So we left off in Acts chapter 2, which was yesterday the upper room experience. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the apostles. And the last thing we read was as the apostles came out of the upper room and they were speaking in tongues and there were manifestations of the presence of the kingdom of God that were tangible and it was noticeable. People heard of different language groups at the same time, simultaneously heard through Peter's preaching and that of the words of the apostles, different people from different language groups could hear the words Peter was speaking. As he was speaking in tongues, they could hear him and understand him. And it was a miracle of hearing that expression of the gift of tongues on that day, on the day of Pentecost. And of course, the day of Pentecost, theologians remind us, you know, that was a feast day. It was a Jewish feast day. And it was a celebration of the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments. And it also is a harvest feast. And so those two things were both fulfilled on this day, as we'll see. Number one, the Holy Spirit, as St. Thomas Aquinas and others have reminded us, is the new law. It's fulfilling Jeremiah's prophecy, I think Ezekiel, Isaiah in different ways. God's intention was not to have the law written on stone. That was the beginning, God beginning to reveal his commandments, which are good and they're light for our path. But also those commandments, St. Paul told us, which are meant for our good, end up condemning us. Why? Because they shed light on the human heart. They are like the standard of God's expectation for us. What's the heart of that law? Jesus said the fulfillment of that law is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Well, guess what? There's no human heart that does that. Mary was graced to do it because the power of her son's victory was actually applied to her life at her conception, and she didn't have the stain of original sin, the church teaches. She had a special grace that God helped her, and she said yes to. But the human condition, the default mode of the human condition, is everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. The human heart is sinful, and what happens is the commandments which were meant to live, starting with loving God that way, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, what the law does, the law which is meant for our good, now exposes the fact that we don't live it, and therefore we're condemned by it. And the law which was meant for good becomes a curse. We're under a curse. It becomes a curse because it exposes the fact that we have disobeyed the law, and now we experience the consequence of being under the law in that way and the power of sin at work in us. And so God's plan was to deal with that sin problem, as I spoke about yesterday, and he did that through Jesus on the cross, and then to make the law not an external set of rules. The commandments still stand in their value, but the Holy Spirit now, which is the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the anointing that was on and in Jesus Christ, which is centered in the love of God. It's the love of God that's been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And then the law, the new law, is put into the human heart. And our hearts are transformed and tenderized and changed. And we begin to love what Jesus loves and to live the way Jesus lived. And if we say yes to it and with all our strength yield to it, it's a work of God in us. It's not something we just accomplish on our own. But we cooperate with this grace and presence of the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And by the way, could I just say, the Holy Spirit, friends, is a person. It's the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit was sent to us, and he's not just a force. He's not like Star Wars. There was a study done, I mentioned it a few years ago, the Ligonier study on the state of theology, they call it, and a large group of Catholics were part of this study, self-identified Catholics, and they had some truth-false statements, and one of them was the Holy Spirit is a force, but is not personal. It's not a person. True-false. Well, 72% of Catholics said that's true, that the Holy Spirit is sort of like this amorphous force and not a person. And then 11% in the study of Catholics there said they don't know. They're confused. So 83% of baptized Catholics don't know the truth about who the Holy Spirit is. And remember, what we were saying is that Jesus told the apostles he would send the Holy Spirit and the power of the Most High would be upon them and that the Holy Spirit would empower them to live differently and they would know it and they would experience it. So here it happened on the day of Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit that we understand now to the degree that human beings can understand the Trinity, we understand, we know the Holy Spirit is a person, in that the Holy Spirit can be experienced and manifests himself in actions that we'll see unfolding in the life of the apostles and throughout the church's history. And so it's just so important, friends, for us to read this and see it, because for the apostles, they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. They obeyed the Holy Spirit. They experienced the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They experienced prophetic insight and signs and wonders and workings of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And this is how Jesus, the kingdom went forward in Jesus' life. And this is how Jesus said the kingdom would go forward in his own church, beginning with the apostles. And so the whole starting point and awareness of who the Holy Spirit was came from both the teaching of Jesus, but the concrete lived experience in the lives of the apostles. That is the normal Christian life. That's why there's times and periods of renewal of the Holy Spirit in the history and the life of the church. When sometimes when the church gets worldly and the salt goes flat and we fall back into legalism and works of the flesh and not fundamentally living in and through the life and presence and power of the Holy Spirit in us. So it's critical for us to be able to see it. And here's Peter then, as the people who are observing this action coming forth in the life of the apostles and they're preaching with power, some of them said, these guys are drunk. They're acting like they're drunk. So there's physical manifestations. There's a way in which the apostles are not trying to do that, but the encounter with the power of the Spirit makes them look like they're drunk. It makes them look like, what are people who are drunk? What are they like? They stagger sometimes. They can be very joyful. They can be loud. They can, all kinds of different things can be manifested. And they said, that guy kind of looks like he's not fully in control of every aspect. He is in control, right? But he's responding to a power from heaven, the power of the Spirit of God that's working on him, that's empowering him. So then Peter says, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Here he is, Peter speaking, proclaiming the first homily ever by the vicar of Christ, right? By the first pope. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose. So Peter's doing what Peter does, what popes do. They read the signs of what the Spirit is saying to the church. They discern, they interpret for the people of God the working of the Spirit, and they point to it and they say, there's the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. Follow him. Open your heart to him. That kind of thing. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So Peter just says, this is the fulfillment, friends, because he's speaking to Jews, right, who are there on the day of Pentecost for the celebration. He quotes Joel, the prophet, who said, in the last days it shall be that God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And yes, on your maidservants, my maidservants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders and signs in the heavens. And he goes on. So he describes this reality, and he's saying, this is what our own prophet said was coming. It's happening. These are the last days. These are the days of the Spirit. When Jesus Christ, our Messiah, is at the right hand of the Father, pouring out the Holy Spirit, and he's beginning his work in the kingdom that's going to spread throughout the world. And now the last hour is the time between the two comings of Jesus, and he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. God bless you, friends. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. Or subscribe to our podcast.